We're continuing our sermon series on calling today. Thanks to Beth at St Thomas, who has devised the series. I think today's title is intriguing, what I might call pokey. Today's talk is on the theme of following the humble king. Throughout the ages covered by the Old Testament, the Israelites looked at the countries around them and hankered after judges and kings as people to govern and to provide justice and fairness to all peoples. However, nothing good came of it. Whether a good king or a bad king ruled, people followed riches and power and reputation. They developed unfit law and systems of belonging where the other is left out and scapegoated, whether that other was Gentile, slave or sinner. All the while, the in crowd, in their own understanding, is deserving of all the blessings God has to offer. Only the way of love, spoken of in the Bible as early as the time of Moses, would heal the world and bring the justice people craved. Leviticus 19:18 exhorts us to love our neighbour as ourselves. Prophets in that time and ever since have pointed to Elohim, the Creator, as the source of and guide to that love. Elohim, which we get from the creation account at the beginning of Genesis, is a Hebrew plural and genderful word. This humble king, Jesus, whom we are called to follow, is first of all Elohim, a dazzling eternal being, one with Holy Spirit and Father as God Almighty. Jesus is also a man who partakes in and profoundly experiences and understands our humanity. Athanasius, in his creed, explained, "For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man. God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world. Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting. Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who, although he be God and man, yet is not two, but one Christ. One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ." Against the backdrop of this creed, this understanding of God as three in one, that we can approach Paul's words to the followers of Jesus' way in the Greek city. Athanasius understood what Paul was saying. Jesus wasn't just some plot device by which God could magically not be angry with us. Jesus, as God, brought God to us and took us back into that communal, relational eternity. A godly, yet mysterious triumph. Jesus was the creator and sustainer of the universe, and as God, surely had both the wisdom and the right to show humans the way to live a Zoe life of love.
and yet humanity had wanted kings instead of God. In 1 Samuel 8 we read, "So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, 'You are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have.' And if they didn't want him as God to lead them, Jesus was also entitled as king under earthly laws of succession monarchy to show humans the way to live. We read in Matthew's genealogy that there were 14 generations between Abraham and David, 14 generations between David and the Babylonian exile, and 14 generations between the exile and the birth of Jesus, according to Jewish legal rights of succession, and in fulfilment of prophecy from Daniel. Jesus was indeed entitled as a descendant of King David to be called King of the Jews. Yet Jesus chooses not to overrule or dominate any human, either as God or king. He is humble, and the demands he makes of us as followers in his way are light. The humble king enters on the foal of a donkey, not a war horse. He preaches love, justice and forgiveness, not overthrow and domination. He even explains to Pilate in our second reading what his kingdom is all about, otherworldly and full of truth. Truth is a commodity in short supply in our world. We might think that particularly this week as we watch what's going off in America at the moment over the arrest of Donald Trump, with all his supporters saying that he didn't do anything wrong, but the Democrats did everything wrong. It's all about sides, isn't it? I always remember the bully played by Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. Did you see that film? Where he shouts, "You can't handle the truth." That character reminds me of Pilate. I can imagine Pilate saying to Jesus, "What is truth?" when he is used to making people say black is white as a result of fear or pain, or both. He had thousands of men at his command, like Jack Nicholson's character, who would torture and murder at his bidding. These days we have bots and news magnates churning out whatever version of the truth best suits the power, reputation, or fortune of the few at the expense of the many. We have seen the claim of fake news whenever powerful corrupt leaders want to wriggle off the hook of consequence. No doubt Pilate thought he would snuff out this little candle of truth for good when he sent Jesus to the cross. Despite his status and his power, because of his great love, Jesus shows he is not a god or a king to stand in the way of humanity's free will. Rather, he will take the worst that our world systems of power-abusing government and God-misrepresenting religion would throw at him. Then he will transform them through his death, eventually, into something eternally beautiful. After Jesus is murdered, God condemns the world systems that we have set up. God shows they have got things wrong through their torture and murder of their God and King. God resurrects Jesus from the dead and all humanity with him, breaking the curse of sin and death forever. So what does it mean to be called to follow the humble King? Firstly, we can choose to recognise that Jesus is our God and our monarch. He is the source of all wisdom, truth, justice and love. He knows what is best for us and he wants us all to live in peace together. Peace brought about by following his way. Early disciples post-resurrection were said to follow in the way. Secondly, if Jesus did not force people to follow his way, we could choose not to either. Whether it be by nagging or sulking, dominating through fear or heavy shepherding, we don't need to have shouty sandwich boards and harangue people in the street. Thirdly, we could choose to each attend to our own discipleship. We could trust in God's divine redeeming conspiracy to take care of the rest, to fully establish the kingdom of God in all the world and its creatures. As we do this, we could take time to notice the presence of Holy Spirit in our lives. We can get rest, comfort, and affirmation from her as we get on with loving God, ourselves and all our neighbours. This, in my opinion, is the best way of following the humble King.